turn your tax refund into a new kitchen with Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Renovate your space with new cabinets from Cardell. They're ready to install and come in a variety of styles and finishes with free shipping to your home. Visit our kitchen showrooms in-store or go to Menards.com for free estimates today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer for all of our hot deals going on now. Save big money
at Menards. The Burt Show.
I think it's offensive. I think we should be offensive. We're now referring to them as defective guys. is that what we're doing?
There's defective women. Okay. There's defective men. Uh-huh. I mean, we're going to have a little fun with it. We're going to go a little extreme. Yes, everybody has flaws. Everybody has attributes. Some people's flaws are a little more excessive than their attributes, and those are the people we're going to focus on today.
Well, I'm 5'4", so does that make me defective? I'm defective. I'm a defective man. Aww. I'm the size of a Little League trophy. I'm defective.
Love yourself.
It's hard in this room sometimes. Hey. We're labeling guys as defective.
That's a fact.
Hey, I got something good for you for all the defectives out there. I was at Home Goods yesterday.
For all the defectives out there.
Shout out to our defectives.
I was at Home Goods the other day, yeah. And I saw the cutest ceramic ghost that you put a candle in that I wanted to get. And guess what? It was defective. Like, there was a couple of scratches on it, whatever. Yeah. So I asked the nice Home Goods lady. I was like, hey, since there are, like, obviously, like, minor issues, does that mean I would be able to get some money off? And she's like, no, it's still full price. So even though you're defective, you're still full price, baby.
And don't change your value, King.
It doesn't.
I feel like I should be on the island of misfit toys. All right, so we're going to rank. This is what you guys are doing, ranking defective men.
Yes, correct.
Defective men feels like an oxymoron, really.
Now, if Mo and I come in a list for women tomorrow.
Yes, you can.
It's not going to be received the same.
It's not going to be received the same.
How about we give the, why don't we speak for all women, which is always goes well.
Always.
And we just say that we're okay with it. If we can do it for the men, then it's only fair that the women get it too.
Okay. It's a trap, Mo. We're not doing it.
It absolutely is.
It's not a trap. All right. So Abby, mm-hmm. you're going to rank these defective men. Okay. I got 9 guys here. You don't have to rank them as we go. I'm going to give you all of them and then you can put them in the proper order.
Okay, so, I'm bringing out my notes app. Let's do this.
Yes, so, or you can just pull up your show sheet because I have them all listed here for you.
But I need to arrange them. I need to visualize it.
Got it.
There we go.
Girl, do your thing. Do your math thing.
Look at the passion. Look at the focus.
Now here.
I feel like this is the NFL
like
draft.
A fantasy football draft. That's what it's giving.
You got Abby on a good day. On a good week.
Yeah.
On a good month.
Abby perked up. Is it? Yeah.
I'm ready. So what you're doing is you're ranking them on how quickly you dump these guys.
Okay.
So the number one spot's going to be the guy out the gate. You're automatically dumping.
Okay.
Guy number 9, you'll keep him around for a date or two, but he's eventually going to get kicked to the curb. Okay?
He's just slightly defective.
Correct.
Where number 1 is like totally defective.
Number 1.
Can't even bring him out of Walmart.
Like most defective.
Okay.
Like you're, yeah, it's just bad.
All right.
So here are the men that you must rank.
Cassie, you went in on this year or two?
Heck yeah.
All right, so you have the anger guy, all right? Mm-hmm. Then you also have the cheater.
Wait, we don't have, definitions for these guys?
We do not.
Okay, so he's just angry.
Yes.
Yeah, the anger guy, the definition is he's angry.
He's angry. The definition of the cheater is he cheats.
Okay.
The definition of the liar?
He lies.
He does.
You asked.
Mo, the guy with weird friends?
He has weird friends.
Now, this one might throw you.
Okay.
The guy with poor hygiene.
I'm going to go with he has poor hygiene.
There you go.
Well, I saw this next one, and I was like, well, what does this one mean?
All right, then we have.
I think we need to rank defective co-hosts.
First of all, screw you. I'm vulnerable. Define this next one, and then tell me what it means.
All right, next one we have is the tease.
He be teasing.
He be teasing.
No, but like, does that mean like sexually? Am I getting like blue balls? Like what? Like, what is the tease?
You are defective.
When I hear a man that's a tease, I feel like he is teasing commitment, but he doesn't commit.
Okay. Thank you.
That one's fair.
Thanks.
Okay, the 1 in 9 shot. You got it.
Just the next one's tough, though.
Ready, Mo? The short guy.
Oh, God.
Bert.
And then lastly, the guy who makes inappropriate comments.
So like, can I get, what does inappropriate mean?
Like you're out with your friends and he makes a crash joke or he says something that's just off color and it makes you, anything he says is not funny, it makes you uncomfortable.
If you rank short guy more defective than angry guy, I'm going to take it personally.
So, never come short, angry guy.
I'm going to be both at the same time.
Oh, he's an angry little elf. All right, so number 9 is the short guy.
Okay.
Look, you're the least effective.
Oh, thank you. What a heart.
Oh, no, I meant most effective.
Oh, okay.
Never mind, reverse. All right, number 9, the guy that I am most likely to date. I'm going to go with...
Least likely to dump.
I'm going to go with the guy who makes inappropriate comments because...
What? Really? Wow.
You're picking that over the short guy?
Over the short guy even. Wow.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
This is her list.
This is my list. Let me live it. In number 8, I'm going to go with the guy with weird friends.
Okay.
Yeah, he ranks higher than the short guy. Uh-huh. Okay.
Because it's an ick in the beginning, because I'm going to look at him and go, well, if you're friends with these weirdos, then you must be one of them. Like birds of a feather.
You are
flocking together.
Mm-hmm.
The next guy that I'm least likely to dump. I am going to go with the mama's boy. Because at least he likes his mom.
You ain't even dumped the stink guy yet.
The next guy that I am least likely to dump. Or I guess now we're moving into the more likely to dump.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Categories.
You're dumping all of them. It just depends on
what order.
And yes, how quickly.
The next guy I am dumping is the guy with poor hygiene. Okay. We can throw him in a bath.
I am finding myself way less sensitive about that crap in London.
my whole take is about to change.
This is the real spooky movie here. Okay.
What number are we at now?
We are at 1, 2, 3. Okay, so here's what I did. I started at number 9 thinking I could work down, but iMessage is I'm at number 13 technically. Yep. I thought it would work its way down. It's not, so I don't know what number we are.
Okay.
We're halfway through, I think. Mm-hmm. This is 1, 2, 3, 4. This is the 5th one, so we're number 5. I am dumping. Give me short guy.
Okay, thank God we're in 5th.
You're halfway there.
Yeah, thank you.
Right in the middle. Okay, the next guy I am dumping, most likely to dump, is the liar. I really hate a liar.
Liar comes in at number 4.
Liar, liar, pants on fire. I'm not a good liar, so I feel like if you're good at lying, it's unfair. Okay,
the liar one leads into so many of the other ones also.
Yeah. So I feel like, okay, what do I have? I got rid of the mama's boy. I got rid of the liar, guy with weird friends, poor hygiene. Okay, commitment phobe. Mm-hmm. You know what? I want to change my, I'm rearranging the board.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I would like to switch out. Wait, no, I take that back. We're still in the game. Okay, so number 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 is the cheater.
So cheater's coming in at number 3.
Yes. Or no, the commitment phobe. Sorry, the commitment phobe.
I feel like I'm in math class again where everyone else gets it and I don't.
Okay, here. No, I guess I'm going to, we're copying and pasting. We're going to do this right. All right, so start at number, who's at number 9, please? Go ahead, the top of your list.
The guy I am most likely to date, inappropriate comment guy.
Okay, hold on 1 second. All right, so got it.
Then the guy with weird friends.
Okay.
Then the mama's boy. Then the guy with poor hygiene. Then the short guy. Then the liar. Then the commitment phobe. We all on the same board?
One more time, please.
Inappropriate comment guy.
Got it.
Most dateable.
Mm-hmm.
The guy with weird friends, a little less dateable.
Got it.
The mama's boy, a little less dateable.
Perfect.
The guy with poor hygiene, even more less dateable.
Got it.
Then the short guy, liar, commitment phobe.
Got it.
Or the tease, as you guys want to say.
Mm-hmm. More or less dateable. I would like an English teacher to call in. Critique. Let's get a math teacher and an English teacher to call in.
Can I have some grace here? Yes. It's been a tough week.
All right, so you're down to the cheater or the anger guy.
Okay. Give me the cheater.
Okay.
And then the least dateable man on this list is the anger guy.
We got it.
All right. Anger guy, least dateable, cheater, tease, liar, short guy, the guy with poor hygiene ranks in your liking better than the short guy. The mama's boy does better than the short guy.
Yeah.
The guy with weird friends does better than the short guy. The guy who makes inappropriate comments does better than the short guy.
Listen, I can scrub you, but I can't be making those legs longer.
Oh my God. I am going to find London guy and bring him in studio on Monday. It's the Bert Show.
The Bert Show.
So this lady does not want my dude to get a vasectomy. The only problem is he's engaged and she's not his fiance.
This is the weirdest story.
I know. And there's a part two to it, Bert. You weren't here when I told this story the first time, so I'll take you through it. This all started. I have a good friend, and we're a friend group. But the group consists of some friends who are closer to others than others are to others. So it's all kind of all over the place. But there was this one particular time, I'm out with one of my good friends. He just got engaged. We're all out celebrating his engagement. Now, he has a best friend, one of his best friends, whom I know I'm familiar with, but I'm not close to. But we're all together. Like, we're all having this dinner and we're drinking and we're celebrating. We're having a good time. So at some point, he has to take off. Him and his fiance have to take off and go do what they're doing. So the rest of us are still back drinking, having a good time. At some point in this conversation, it starts going into him and his decision making. And he told all of us that he was getting a vasectomy. So we all like, all right, do what you do. I was more like, I don't even know why you're telling me. That's your business. But do what you do. Good for you. So when he leaves, his best friend, one of his best friends, who is a woman, kind of has like this look on her face of, she's just puzzled by something. So we're like, what's up with you? You all right? And she's like, I don't think he should do that. And we're like, you don't think he should do what? And she's like, I don't think he should get a vasectomy. So it was weird because it was like, why are you so invested in this? Like, why does this matter to you? I don't understand. And she's just like, I think it's wrong. And it's odd because, for one, she spends a lot of time with him and his fiance. She's close to both of them, but she's really one of his best friends. So she's around. She's going to be around them as a couple a lot. And she has these thoughts of not wanting him to get a vasectomy because she, in her head, seems to believe that there's still a chance for her to end up with him.
What?
So now,
she's told everybody at the table after the two of them have left, her liquid courage, and yep. I don't even want to call it courage, but loose lips sink ships, and she just told everybody that fact. And I think, Abby, you and I were both on the same page. Like, dude, you got to tell him. Like, there is an enemy mm-hmm. within. Like, there, and so you need to let them know that she's thinking these things.
Mm-hmm. And someone get that girl a diary. Let's bring back secrets.
Yes, with a lock on it, preferably.
Yes.
I don't want to know. So that became the question. After we all kind of was in that moment and puzzled by it, we started to talk about it afterwards when she wasn't around. And it was like, do we say something?
Do you say something?
You got to say something.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has no idea.
You have an enemy in your camp, man.
Yeah, you got to say something.
So between the four of us, two of us were on the side. I was on the side of like, that's not my business. I'm not getting involved, whatever. And then the other two was like, we can't do that because what if it was you? What, wouldn't you want to know? Like, this is supposed to be your best friend and they're kind of plotting mm-hmm. on your marriage at the end of the day. So you should want to know this.
There's weird seeds that she could plant yeah. and like different things that she can. Not saying that she's that type of person, but you just, you don't know what somebody's capable of when they're in love with somebody who's in love with somebody else. Mm-hmm.
And all of that is fair. And my only thinking was, this man is in such a great place in his life, just getting engaged. He's excited. They're about to go celebrate and do all of this stuff. And then now we have to tell him, yo, one of your best friends is kind of plotting on your marriage mm-hmm. and behind your back. So I just didn't even want to have that moment with him. But if they feel like the stand-up thing to do is to tell him, I'm all in. Let's tell him. So we all get on Zoom together. And, you know, we kind of like, it was,
ooh, it's like an intervention.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
And it was awkward because it was like, how do we do this? And when do we do it? Because we tried to start it like it was a normal Zoom at first. And, you know, he didn't know what was coming. So at some point.
So just to clarify, he's there, but his fiance is not.
His fiance is not there and his best friend is not there. It's just three guys. And at some point, I had enough. And I was like, hey, man, we are gathered here today.
Dearly beloved.
You're not much of a small talker.
Yeah, no, I'm not.
No, you get right into it.
I don't, I'm impatient. So, I'm not even the one who wanted to tell him, but they all looking at me like, well, you brought it up. You tell him.
You talk for a living.
Exactly. Right? You figure it out. So, I'm like, of course. So, I told him. I said, I don't know how you're going to receive this, but this happened behind your back, and we all felt like you should know. I didn't necessarily want to tell you, but it seems to be the stand-up thing to do. Mm-hmm. So here's what happened when you walked out the other day, and here's what your best friend said. And he kind of, I didn't know what to expect, but when he reacted the way he did, I felt like, why didn't I expect that? I should have. Because he, like, took a beat, and he said, he kind of, like, chuckled at it. And then so we were, like, waiting for a response. Like, all right, how you feel about it? And you could tell he was pondering something. And he just said to us, well, I kind of get it. So we were like, what? You do? And he was like, yeah, I never told y'all, but we had a thing. None of us ever knew that.
Okay.
And does his fiance know that?
I don't think so.
Okay.
So my only question was the thing while you were with your lady, with your fiance. And he said it was very close, but not exactly.
So it didn't overlap, but it was right before he got with this.
Right before.
Okay.
And I guess in her mind, that wasn't like a one-time thing. Like, she had wanted that for a while. So when it happened, I guess her mind was like, oh, we're about to be an item. And the next thing you know, he popped up with somebody new, and it was like, we just back to friends. So now it's kind of like, I understand where she's coming from.
Aren't you glad you said something? Because we would have been missing out on all this tea.
You're right. You're right.
Thank you for your service.
You're a real patriot.
I make the sacrifices. Absolutely. I do what I can.
At this point, your job is done, though.
Yeah, I'm done.
I mean, you gave him the info. Now it makes a little bit more sense for all of you guys. You know what we say, behind every crazy woman is a dude that probably put her into crazy.
Touché.
Which this might be the case right here. But now he knows, and he's got to completely remove her from the relationship.
That's the next thing. Like, that's what we were asking him. What are you going to do? He was like, I don't know, man. I'll figure it out later. But I don't see how you could remain best friends and keep that kind of secret going into a marriage.
Uh-uh.
That's not it. So I'll keep y'all posted.
All right, lots of reminders today, because today is the last day you can buy a raffle ticket for Burt's Big Adventure. This is to get you guys into a brand new 2024 Audi Q3. Audi Atlanta helping us out with this thing. And today's the last day to buy a $100 raffle ticket. 100% goes to Burt's Big Adventure, the trip we take down to Disney World with kids that have chronic and terminal illnesses. And you can get your raffle tickets today at burtsbigadventure.org.
The Burt Show.
It is worth repeating, because Atlanta United barely got into the MLS playoffs.
They squeaked in?
Literally squeaked in. Like, four things had to happen. They had to win a game, and then three other teams had to, like, either lose or tie for them to make it into the playoffs.
Oh, wow.
And in that perfect scenario, they did, right? So they got into this round where it was like a one-game playoff against Montreal. Nobody thought Atlanta United would win. And as a subplot, if you guys are Atlanta United fans, you know the name Joseph Martinez, who's had a pretty good season and fair season since he's left Atlanta United, but he was beloved here in Atlanta. His time was just up. He got injured. He wasn't playing as well, and it was just a business decision to let him go. Every time he plays Atlanta United now, he ends up scoring goals and crushing. He scores two last night for Montreal. Two! Atlanta scores two, and then they win. Atlanta wins in penalty kicks last night.
Wow.
Yeah, so they have advanced in the playoffs against Miami and Messi, the Miami Messies.
Uh-oh.
Lionel Messies. And they will be playing in Atlanta, I believe, on November 2nd. So I will say this, and these guys are great partners of ours too, but even if we weren't partnering with them, I would tell you this. If you haven't gone to an Atlanta United game, playoffs are just different. They're always great, but playoffs are the energy level. I don't even know how they're going to keep the roof on this place. If you haven't gone to a game, go on November 2nd, because that will be the second of three games they're playing against Miami.
Good thing it's retractable.
Yeah.
The roof.
I'm sorry, but that ass was funny.
All right, speaking of Atlanta sports, Mo has got himself a values question here, and I can't even believe we're about to date it.
Quite the dilemma here, and a lot is on the line. My friendship is on the line, my relationship is on the line, and a time with my beloved Dallas Cowboys is on the line. So I'm a big Dallas Cowboys fan. I try to make at least two games a year, and this year is one of those years where the Cowboys will play the Atlanta Falcons in Atlanta. So when that happens, I'm double excited because I don't have to travel. They're right here. They're at home. So the last 2 years, my lady, myself, and one of my best friends have joined. They've like joined me in my fandom of the Cowboys, and we go to a game together every year. At least one, the three of us. My dude may bring someone, and it's a time. That's the thing. So at the beginning of the year, soon as the schedule came out and we saw that the Cowboys were playing the Falcons in Atlanta, we all got together and was like, we're going, right? This is too easy. So we're like, that's the game. We're there. We're in there. So I'm like, yes, let's do it. So we just before, I mean, like 2 days before we were all in line to buy our tickets together to go, I got an email, got a random email from a company saying, hey, Mo, we love what you do. And we would like for you to come watch the game with us. We have a suite. We're inviting you. And I was like, oh, this sounds lit. So in my mind, I'm like, well, normally when you get these types of invitations, you'll at least get a plus one. So my thought was, who's not going? That's an easy one. My lady's going. My dude's going to have to forgive me. But they're not giving me a plus one. They said that it's not enough room. It's a little too private. They can only invite me.
It's too private.
It's a little too private. So I go back to my lady and my guy, and I'm like, we got a little bit of a dilemma here. And I don't know exactly what I should do, but I got invited to go to the Cowboys game. The problem is, it's not a plus one. It's just me. And for some reason, I thought that they were going to be excited for me. I thought it was going to be met with, oh, yeah, we get it.
Both of them.
Both of them.
Equally disappointed.
At the same time, both looked at each other as if to say, like, is he really doing this? And then looked back at me for more answers. And there weren't any more answers. That was it. Like, I'm having to choose between this. And so now the moral question is, would I be wrong to go? Because technically.
look at him defending himself before we can even get a word in.
Because technically, I'm the only real Dallas Cowboys fan here. Uh-huh. They're supporting me. And I do appreciate the support.
Are they Falcons fans?
No.
Okay.
So they're just supporting me as you know, this is my thing. And yeah, we have fun together. But would I be wrong to change the plans here and just kind of catch them later?
Catch you later.
I'll send some pictures, you know, some videos, some things.
I'm going to take a somewhat surprising stance because typically I like to side with women because men typically don't take my side. But for you, because you're such a big Cowboys fan, I think it's important for your friends and your girlfriend to recognize that sometimes it's just better to be happy for when something good happens for your partner and to not make it about you. You're a big Cowboys fan. This is a big opportunity for you. And sure, it would be fun for you guys to get to experience the game together. But I think there comes a point where you have to step back and realize not everything is about you. And it's important to have like those selfless moments to let you have those things and let you have your thing that I think you should be allowed to go.
I feel like this is a romantic comedy in the makings right now, all right? They give you the okay reluctantly. You go to the game, and the two of them hook up and fall in love with each other.
Wow. Right. That escalated.
Hey, man, this is Cowboys luck right there.
We're not having the kind of season where I'm willing to sacrifice my relationship to my friend.
I'm in the same boat as Abby.
Hey.
Really?
I got your back on this.
What?
Yeah, if my husband, like, if it was a team, like, if it was Kentucky, we were both equally into it, and he's ditching me, yeah, that's not going to fly. But if it's something that he's really into, and I was just going to support him, mm-hmm. granted, I'm in a different stage of my relationship. I got, like, 18 years on you. So the idea that I get to stay home by myself. Go, baby. You go in that suite, you have some fun, you bring me home some sweet treats, and it'll be all good.
Yeah, I'm going to make this a clean sweep here. Yeah. Because it's so important. And you've been rooting for them for how long?
My entire life.
Your
long
entire.
As I can remember.
And when's the last time they went to a Super Bowl?
Why is that important?
Because what I'm establishing here is that you have loved them through the good years, the bad years. This is a relationship also, right? So knowing that and how passionate you are, both of them should step aside.
This is a 30 plus year relationship with the Dallas Cowboys that and they have not won in that 30 plus. I think I should be given some grace.
Absolutely.
Okay. I appreciate y'all. I don't think it's going to work. I don't think my lady's going to go for it, but I do appreciate the support in the studio. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So we didn't get to this on Monday where we call it Monday Mantras. And then we didn't get to a Tuesday where we're going to name it like TED Talks Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
So here we are on Wednesday.
And now it's Wisdom Wednesday.
Wisdom Wednesday. All right. So I've told you guys before that, you know what? I think the greatest motivation for me is death, is knowing that this is not going to last forever. And it makes you look at your life like, I got to get it done now because we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And I love Les Brown, this motivational speaker, I think is based out of Atlanta here. Woo, this one hit me hard.
But imagine, if you will, being on your deathbed. And standing around your bed, the ghost of the ideas, the dreams, the abilities, the talents, given to you by life, and that you, for whatever reason, you never acted on those ideas, you never pursued that dream, you never used those talents, we never saw your leadership, you never used your voice, you never wrote that book, and there they are standing around your bed looking at you with large angry eyes saying, we came to you, and only you could have given us life, and now we must die with you forever.
Damn.
And the question is, if you die today, what ideas, what dreams, what abilities, what talents, what gifts will die with you?
Les Brown, Don't Mess Around.
Ooh,
okay. No pressure. Jeez.
Strong, right?
Les Brown is incredible. Man, I could listen to him talk for hours.
Yes, and I think this goes to the same lesson of, like, people are so scared to fail that they don't even try. And when you're on your deathbed, what does it matter? Like, you should have tried.
You're absolutely right. I mean, I remember someone telling me the same exact thing when I was worried about failure and what people thought. And he was like, you do realize you're going to die, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when you do, none of it is going to matter. Live your life with no regrets.
I'm going to have there around me all the times I should have taken a nap.
Well, you got plenty of time.
Because sometimes
when all those ghosts are around you, that's your time to get your nap.
I'm just here to remind you, it's also okay to rest, okay?
The Bert Show.
I think I experienced a great example of intention versus impact the other day. You want to explain exactly what that is?
Yeah, so we talked about this, excuse me, extensively over the years, and I don't know where it originated, but it's intent versus impact. So you can have the greatest of intentions, but there's no way for you to really know how it's going to impact somebody. So, and this is because you have to realize we all kind of, a lot of people live in their own world or their own bubble, and they see the world as only they see it through their life experiences. But you have to realize there's a lot of people out there who have different upbringings, different experiences than you. So while your intentions may be well-meaning, it could impact somebody in a much different manner.
So I told you guys that my girlfriend just bought a new house. Very proud of her. And it's been kind of a hassle for her to get in for this reason and that reason. It's been stalled over and over and over again. So she has been living with me for the last 4 months. So her stuff is kind of scattered all over the place between my place and her dad's place and a couple of other areas. It's very frantic time for her right now, right?
It's a hard way to live when you got your stuff scattered all over the place.
So stressful, right? You couple that with her doing a photo shoot. She's a photographer, so she was up in South Carolina. And then we are leaving. It's an early short week, I should say, for us this week because we're going to Kentucky with Kristen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but we're still doing the show on Friday. We're just doing it from Lexington.
Yeah. But it's a short week for her, so mm-hmm. She's very, very stressed out. She's just got a whole bunch organizing a house, getting your stuff, leaving early in the week. So while she was gone on Saturday to Highlands, I looked in the closet and there's a whole bunch of stuff still unpacked. Like, she's not going to have a lot of time. And she was supposed to, like, be out of the house, I think, Monday, a couple of days ago. So here it is, the weekend, and all her stuff is not packed yet. So I thought I would do the nice thing. And I go to Home Depot and I get one of those wardrobe boxes that kind of has the steel bar mm-hmm. on the top of it that you can hang your clothes on. So I went and I got that. I brought it into the closet and I took her clothes off of the rack to save some time and put it in the wardrobe box, right? Then I organized some other drawers that she had there that she's going to be taking with her to her new place. And I put those in boxes also. She walks into the house after working all night and goes into the closet and sees the wardrobe box and starts breaking down and crying because she felt like in that moment, I'm like rushing her out of the house. And I didn't even see it coming. She's like, first of all, it hurts to see these boxes that we are really transitioning now into this. What we both want is to live in different places. But in that moment, with all of the stress and everything else, she's like, so you really want me out of here, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't my intent at all. It was to try to save you some time so you could get into your new house, man. And she's left in tears. And I'm like, what did I do?
Well, and I know how stressful, because not only that, we had a baby. Like, she came straight from work to a baby shower and then baby shower to home. Like, that was a crazy weekend. So I'm sure that reaction there was other stuff behind the reaction than just seeing the boxes. Were you guys able to talk it through, and were you able to explain what your reasoning was and what your intent was?
She's also in a time of the month right now where chemically things might be a little bit wonky.
You mean hormonally?
Yes. So it took us about 30. I think as she was crying, she realized.
Yeah.
So there wasn't even really a conversation except for me to say, like, that is absolutely not what I was trying to say. And she got it in a millisecond.
Perfect.
Oh, but wow.
I also heard your words, too. Like, when you're going through that time in your life, like, you know the way that you're reacting is not necessarily logical, but because of the chemicals in your body, you can't do anything about it.
It happened the other day. I was so short with everybody, and I was like, my voice was escalating, and I was just in a place, and I knew. Like, I knew why, but I couldn't do anything about it. I'm like, I feel like I'm a prisoner of my own body.
Yeah.
I don't want to be a bitch. I just am.
This concept to me where you know what is logical, but because of the chemicals going on in your body, you can't hold back. That person is lost on dick.
It seems so frustrating.
Yeah, I
know you guys are just like, well, you reckon, like, then just don't do that. And when I tell you, it is so hard not to be a bitch. I can't even begin to tell you how hard it is, but
save
it
that.
Is.
Save that. Yeah. Every piece of
save
that.
It, loop it, make it a dance mix.
DJ it, bring it back.
Play it every 28 days, baby. Every 28 days.
The Burt Show.
All right, Heather needed our help here because she feels like she put a curse on someone and she's not exactly sure if it's working or not. Heather, this one's pretty interesting. What do you got?
I did put a curse on someone. I just need to know if it worked. So I work in the, I know it sounds kind of crazy, but I do work in the service industry, but I don't want to, obviously, I don't want to say which place. So a woman came in with a group of people, and she was the absolute worst customer you could ever imagine, pretty much. And she was just a nightmare. She was rude and dismissive and had a million different stupid questions about the menu. Here, just to give you an idea of what I was dealing with, she sent the bread back because it wasn't warm enough, and it literally just came out of the oven. So, and she sent her water back twice because there was particles apparently that were allegedly floating in there. There was nothing, okay? The entree, she orders. She modified like crazy. She ordered it was Cajun chicken pasta, and she wanted penne pasta instead of the linguine pasta. It comes. It had Cajun chicken, you know, she just wanted something. She didn't want it spicy, so she demanded mild. It's Cajun seasoning. Of course, when she got it, she sends it back because it was too spicy. So, I mean, if you don't like spicy food, then what the heck? Why are you ordering Cajun pasta? And then she expects her entree to be comped, and which meant only water and salad was on her bill. So then she leaves me a 37-cent tip.
Ooh, okay. No.
Yeah.
Nah.
That's just rude. 37 cents.
You round down at 40. Right. It's the least you could have done.
That's calculated and mean, 37 cents.
Mm-hmm.
But me walking back and forth was not worth 30 cents, you know, like 37 cents. So anyway, I was ending my shift and just closing out my credit card receipts. When I came across hers with her signature, okay, I dabble a bit in voodoo.
Whoa.
So I know, I was in a bad mood. So I put a little curse on her. You know, I just wanted to see if it works pretty much.
Hold on a second.
So you dabble in black magic?
Yeah, I want to get this even more awkward. What does that mean, dabbling in voodoo?
A little bit, yeah. Like a bit of, you know, black magic, a little witchy stuff. You know, I'm not quite comfortable sharing on air, to be honest.
Have you?
It's just powerful stuff. You shouldn't mess with, is what I'm saying.
Have you messed with it in the past and it has worked or has not worked? Or is this like your first quote unquote victim?
This is pretty much like, I've done like little fun ones that I didn't really see much of a difference. Like little loved ones, little. This is like, I was pissed. You know, so I'm really curious if it, you know, the curiosity just got the best of me. And I just really want to know if the curse worked. So to help you guys out, I found her Facebook, but her page is private and I just wasn't able to see anything.
So just to paint the picture, there you are at the end of the shift. You've already rolled your silver, so that's taken care of. And you're closing out your credit card receipts and you come across her receipt with her name on it and you sat there somewhere, I'm assuming in the back away from the other servers, and you did whatever black magic curse, and you put a curse on the woman that was a complete a-hole to you.
Correct.
Okay, just tell you. Okay, next time I'm being a bitch, yeah. I want credit for not being this big of a bitch. At least I'm not putting curses on people.
Black magic don't strike me as something you could just do as a hobby. Like, don't you got to be all in and, like, know what you're doing and actually to do that to somebody?
Well, I mean, obviously you say this is something, like, do you practice this or just is this something that you are interested in and you are knowledgeable of and you have utilized sometimes in the past?
I like I said, I dabble a bit in it, and it's powerful stuff. I just, no one should be messing with this. Mm-hmm. And I like I said before, it's a little, I don't want to say too much on air about it.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, we should stay on her good side.
And we will, because you asked us to see how this person is doing. And when we come back, Tommy will have some answers for you, correct?
Yes. And I have reached out. I didn't get to her through Facebook, but I have my ways.
Okay. And if it did work, then we will get your phone number because Abby will like to use it on some dude that lives in England.
Yeah. I'm going to need your Venmo account because I got some money to send you.
All right. Results next.
The Bert Show.
I want to believe that their hearts were in the right place and they didn't want to tell us during the show because we have to perform. It's hard to focus enough. So let me be the one to break it to you guys. One of our fair goldfish has passed away.
Oh, no, no.
Tommy. It was a good goldfish. Transported well from the fair to the radio station, really seemed to enjoy his time.
All the way from North Georgia to less North Georgia.
As I went back there to check on them this morning, I was shocked. I mean, I can count higher than three. Now, I know that there were three in there. I could spot two. And when I asked Jackson, like, dude, what happened to number three? We haven't even named the man. There's one, two, and three.
You know he was three, one, two.
Hey, bro was so distraught and wanted out of that tank so bad. The fish jumped out of the water and got trapped between the filter and the side of the fish tank.
Oh.
No.
And that's bro, how bro lost his life.
No.
That's while the other two fish looked on in horror.
Well, at least he was bold.
He was going for it, man. He listened to that Les Brown thing from earlier. I just like to go.
It's now or never.
It's now or never. He wanted out of there so bad. So he made a leap for it, man. And unfortunately, it ended tragically.
How did the fish memo not make its way down to this studio?
I wouldn't have known. We would. Hey, maybe you should bring Jackson on down. He's got some splaining to do. And then we'll get Heather back on.
When did the...
Don't know.
They know not to break bad news, though, while we're on the air. So.
But I don't think it happened this morning when I went back there. And even as I was looking at the fish, and I was videoing the fish, which I like to check in with them once a week just to make sure that their mental health is okay.
Oh, you're such a good fish daddy.
Oh, really? How's that working out? Because one offed itself.
It was waiting for the right time. When were you going to break this news to us? And when did it happen?
This happened on Monday.
Monday?
Monday?
Yeah. So... I'll reveal this now. I had an idea. I was going to go to the pet store and buy a replacement and see how long it took you to figure out that it was a different fish. And I was going to get a totally different color and just see what happens. And that was my plan to go to after the show today. But obviously you came and checked on them, so it kind of foiled my plans.
Oh, man.
I'm here to tell you right now, none of us ever would have noticed.
I know. Well, do you guys even go back there and check on the fish?
No. I do.
I look at them.
I was spending some quality time with fish in one and two. And I found out on Monday, but I don't want to break the news.
Oh, you knew.
But I knew he had a plan. I didn't want to foil said plan.
You could have actually really jacked with me because in my mind state, you could have said, "Wait, you can't see the third one?" And I'd have said, "Where?" And you're like, you would have said, "Right there in front of you." Like, and I would have come back here and gone, "You guys, go check the fish tank."
Wait a minute. So are we going to take the words of a murderer?
That's right. You killed a Tamagotchi.
Killed Abby's Tamagotchi. What's to say that former sushi chef, Jason Kim, didn't kill the goldfish?
That's explaining it, dude, Lucy.
I don't know. That felt a little racially charged.
Yeah, I was never a sushi chef. What are you talking about?
Yes, I was.
I don't ever remember him telling us that. What a racist.
Wow.
He was. Don't even try to twist it.
Man is a soul food chef. Can't you see it?
Best color green. All right.
Yeah, she has clouded this with a little bit of doubt. Was there a proper burial, or how did we dismiss of the body?
Yeah, where is the body?
Did you take it to a toxicologist, and we're going to have it, like, stuffed and put up in the office somewhere?
No. We should have stuffed them and framed them.
You need a taxidermist for this.
No, Chad was actually the one. One of our engineers is actually the one that found them and fished them out and wanted to know if we wanted to do a proper burial, and then Mikey flushed them.
Oh, so burial at sea.
Yes.
Lovely.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Wait, Mikey was the only one there?
When he was flushed?
Yeah.
No, I was there.
Oh, okay.
No. We did it together.
Okay.
Did you do a candlelight vigil?
We did turn the lights off, but that was something else.
Just one match for a little fish.
I wish I had seen, like, a salesperson had walked in on Jackson and Mikey in a stall together looking at the water as it flushes with the lights off.
How are the other fish taking it so far? Because they certainly have learned a valuable lesson. Let's not try that.
They look a little sad, but they're hanging out together a lot more than they usually do, so maybe there's some solidarity bonding going on there.
And this was how many weeks ago that we got these fish?
It's been a month and a half.
Okay, they lasted a good 4 weeks more than I thought that they would.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
He had a good life.
He did.
Sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
It's all of our loss. Okay.
The Bert Show.